Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our weekly house call from the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning, Dr. Most. Dave mentioned something about a shot for a pneumonia the other day, and I'm curious, what can you tell us about this and who needs to get that vaccine?
Well, I hope that Dave Ennett has gotten this vaccine.
I did.
So hopefully.
I got it.
Go.
Good
Dave,
for you,
you are
Dave.
The best as far as your health. Yeah, you are.
I tried, Doc.
Yeah. But the pneumonia vaccine is a vaccine that protects us against the 20-plus strains of pneumococcal bacteria that cause pneumonia, mainly in seniors and in those that are immunocompromised. So over the age of 65, you certainly should be getting it. Under the age of 65, if you're immunocompromised, if you're a heavy smoker, if you have a liver, lung, or kidney disease, then your doctor would probably recommend it. But it's just similar to the influenza, where it protects you from getting an infection. But this one, not a virus. This one, a bacterial illness.
This vaccine has been around a while. Has it been improved at all?
Yeah, it has. You know, and not only has it been approved, we continue to look at the different strains. There's 100 different strains of this bacteria, but only about 20-something of them cause pneumonia and could cause severe illness. So what they've done is they continue to perfect the vaccine. So it used to be two vaccines, and many people are right at the hurdle point here where they may have gotten the one vaccine. They may have gotten the PCV15, and they still need one other one. But now there's a new one out since 21 called Prevnar, which is, the PCV20. And that covers the strains that are going to have the highest chance of causing any severe illness in an adult.
Interesting email from a listener. For a future topic, could you ask Dr. Most if he could check with his teams at Northwestern to see if any progress has been made regarding a non-surgical treatment for cataracts using eye drops? What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, you have to be really careful here because there's a lot of, I don't want to say false news, but there's a lot of claims out there with some eye drops saying that this will prevent cataracts or this will correct cataracts, and it really is not. There is studies being done on things to look at that for non-surgical. But we have to remember a cataract is a clouding of the lens in your eye, and that lens gets cloudy because of proteins starting to break down as we age. So we're going to have to slow the aging process to stop the development of cataracts, because we're not going to get a drop to the point where it goes in there and corrects that breakdown. So it'll be interesting if we can get it to slow the breakdown. It'll be interesting if we can get it to maintain at a certain point. But those eye drops would probably need to be in forever. Mm-hmm. So it really isn't there. And now cataract surgery is, you know, any surgery obviously is concerning. But a cataract surgery, we do over 2 million of them a year. So individuals who are starting to see in their vision that it looks a little hazy, that it looks like we're looking a little bit through frosted glass, they can't see as properly, get in to see your ophthalmologist, because it's often cataracts where those lenses, that are cloudy lenses, can be removed, an artificial lens can come back, and all of a sudden you're seeing 20/20 again. So something that adults, we really want them to keep their vision for many reasons. It increases their social interactions because they're comfortable going out, protects them from falling, safety in driving. There's so many reasons we need our vision, and correcting a cataract is something that can easily be done.
Is an artificial lens always part of the cataract surgery procedure?
It usually is. Now, some individuals, they can't take it based on their anatomy or based on allergies or based on other issues. So in those individuals, if they can't do the artificial, then we're going to put contacts in, essentially a lens on top of your eye that many people wear already, contact lenses and or glasses. So there are other options, and removing the cloudiness is one. Putting the artificial lens back in helps, but if we can't, we can still put lenses to help that vision, and we've taken away that haziness and that cloudiness so that you don't have to worry about seeing distances and actually, like I said, being able to be safe in the environment.
Another question that has come up a lot, I've seen many emails and texts with a question about vitamin D and how it relates to helping to prevent COVID. What's the latest research on vitamin D?
Yeah, you know, we know vitamin D is very important for our immune system, but people were touting, take vitamin D, you don't need the vaccine. Vitamin D will protect you from COVID, and that's not the case. Certainly, vitamin D will help our immune system to become as strong as it possibly can as we build antibodies to COVID. And anybody who does have a vitamin D deficiency, is very important to talk to your doctor about it, especially coming into this time of the year. When it's dark out right now, and it's often dark when people, you know, get close to leaving for work, especially after daylight savings time ends, you are going to have very minimal exposure to the sun, which is where we get natural vitamin D. Our body makes vitamin D based on our exposure to the sun. When we lose that through the winter season, certainly taking a supplement of that is very important. And vitamin D is not only important in our immune system, but also in our bone health. So really, we want to make sure that we are not deficient in vitamin D, and know that in the winter portion of it, a vitamin D supplement may be very important.
I know we actually store vitamin D in the body, so would there be any danger in taking too much of it?
Well, there really isn't, but you can have some side effects from too much. And like you said, we only store a few vitamins in our body, vitamin D, E, A, and K. And you're like, wow, that's kind of weird. And if you look at, you know, why, how have we survived? Well, we need vitamin D, so that's one that we make. Excuse me, not only do we make it, but we store it in our fat. You know, vitamin A and vitamin K, we need that to clot blood, so we can't have deficiencies in that. So the body has matured over whatever period of time to make sure that those most important vitamins, we have storage of them. But certainly you don't want to take too much vitamin D, or you can get some toxicities.
It's our Monday morning visit with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. There have been these commercials for full-body MRIs, various celebrities endorsing this. What do we know about this, and is this something that most physicians endorse, Doctor?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Bob. You hit it right on the head. This has been more of a celebrity promotion than it has been a medical promotion. But you probably have seen it. There is a place, actually one of the sites is in Chicago, a company called Pernuvo. And what they're doing is they're touting that they're doing life-saving MRIs. Now, physicians are kind of on the fence on this one. One, it's not covered by insurance, so this is out of pocket. So it's the haves versus the have-nots as far as who can get it. Two, the other issue is that some of the things that they find may end up causing other tests that end up finding to be nothing and increasing fear. That being said, I'll balance it and say, you know what, there's some cancers that we don't have great screening tests for that by the time we find them, they're often too far advanced for us to treat them. Some brain cancers, pancreatic cancer. So this is one that will be interesting to see. We don't have enough MRIs in the world to do this as a screening test. So I think doctors are saying, hey, you know, we have to be careful about how we use the assets we have to make sure that the appropriate people that need MRIs are getting them versus anybody who happens to have $2,500 and wants this. So there's a fine balance there. Are we going to use it for more screening tests? Possibly, but it's expensive, and we don't have enough of them.
One thing we should definitely mention today is a blood shortage. The Red Cross has seen donations drop 25% over the past few months. And before we get to how to help, do we know why this is happening?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. One of the things that we noticed during COVID is that a lot of high schools stopped doing their blood drives. They didn't want to get kids all together in one room, and it just hasn't come back. And that's what they think is one of the key factors for it. Certainly, there's the national disasters that have gone on, and the going back to school, you know, vacations, things like that. We know we see a little dip, but usually it's rallies back because of the high school programs that we do for donations. So a lot of schools have not gone back to that, which hits us two ways. One, we don't get the influx of blood that we get from these donations from young, healthy kids. And probably more importantly, we don't set a tone for them to be lifelong givers. If they don't understand the importance of it and they don't see it in their high school days, then someone else has to encourage them to give blood the first time so that they continue to give blood. So we're kind of in a little world of hurt here, and people have to understand that we need blood every day, and having a shortage only delays some elective surgeries, but more importantly, we have to really deal with people with massive blood loss, and how are we going to deal with them in the operating arena?
So the thing to do if you want to help is to just contact the Red Cross, find out where you can conveniently give blood near you, right?
Absolutely. And then if you're on the school board, encourage your schools to continue to consider coming back with those donations, because you take a good high school, you know, you can get 300, 400 kids through that in one day. That would make a substantial change, especially when you count the number of high schools in the Chicagoland area or the number of high schools in the United States. So really, I would look at that as a great thing. But certainly anybody who does give, now you're in a, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going every 8 weeks or I'm going every 10 weeks. It's set up for you and you're in that process because you've been a lifelong giver. Now we need to reset that younger population to join that team.
Good to know. And before we let you go and before anybody stops for one of the fall drinks that are on the menu at Starbucks, do you have any warnings for us?
You know, Bob, you always want me to ruin someone's morning, but, you know.
Or make it better or make it healthier.
Yeah. That's true. But coffee has great benefits. You know, we know that there is antioxidants, decrease the risk of diabetes, decrease the risk of depression. There's very good things about it. You just have to make sure that you're drinking it appropriately. And like you said, coming into the holidays, between now and the new year, just be careful of what you eat or drink there. You know, if you go to Starbucks or Pete's or Dunkin' Donuts, you know, they're putting all these fall drinks with these special flavorings in them. Well, it just racks it up. And I'll just give you an example. If you do the, let's take the peppermint mocha, which will be a very popular one now. You take the peppermint mocha and you have a scone with it. You've had half of your calories for the entire day before you even start work. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be really careful about what goes in there. So look at the nutritional value. A pumpkin latte with 470 calories, 16 grams of fat, and 60 grams of sugar. That is way too much. So if you're going to do it, don't have one every day. Have one once a week, and then balance that with a healthy coffee that we know has those health benefits.
It's like a milkshake. Go there for dessert. Dr. Kevin Most,
exactly.
Thank you. Have a good week.
You got it. Take care, Bob. We'll talk soon.